Nice to be with you this morning and to be able to sing those wonderful hymns together to the glory of the Lord. And it's amazing, you know, when we think about that, and we were singing carols last Friday night, and there was a sister there. She was, as we were singing the carols, she was looking at them, and she said, you know, when I was young, I used to enjoy singing those carols. And then she said, when I got saved, I was amazed by the content of those carols, you know, how the gospel was in those carols. But she said before, she never saw it. And it's amazing, is that when we think about that, we come to this time of year again when people will celebrate. A lot of people don't know what they celebrate. They just have an excuse to celebrate, and that's good enough. And I remember being like that, you know, it's just, but what is people celebrating? You know, we're thinking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into this world. What does that mean to you when we think about it, you know? And it makes a big difference, doesn't it? As we read in the scriptures, we see that there was people who were waiting for him. They knew he was coming. They were waiting. They were expecting him, and they were full of joy when they saw that babe being born in the manger. But other people didn't really care. They didn't know. Didn't care, just went along, and time went by, and then he went to the cross and died for sins, and just life goes on. This morning I'd like to look at something with you. Like, you know, we think of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it was mentioned in the hymns we sang. And when we think of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross of Calvary, what does that mean to you this morning? Oh, and we'll read in Matthew chapter 27. So if you care to read along with me in the Bible, the Word of God, well, those things have happened a long time ago, but they're very relevant. And it's not so much that people don't know about it. We all know about what took place when the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary and he shed his blood. And we're not saying anything new to people here. I'm sure everyone has heard that this has taken place almost 2,000 years ago. But that, what is that to you? What does it mean? Like, how does that relate to you? And that's what we're going to look at this morning, trying to to see what this would mean. So let's look at chapter 27 of the Gospel of Matthew. We'll read verse 4, and we'll see four different ways of looking at the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here it was Judas is speaking, and Judas was one that was with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he was very intimate. He spent 3 years with him very closely, seeing things that the Lord Jesus Christ was doing, you know, and it was amazing the things that, it must have been quite the 3 years as they spent those 3 years with the Lord Jesus Christ. But then it comes to the end when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be, he's going to be murdered. He's going to the cross of Calvary. There he's going to die for the sin. He's going to shed his precious blood. And Judas had a terrible role in that. Like, he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. For 30 pieces of silver, he directed people to get a hold of him. And I don't know what he was thinking, but maybe he thought that the Lord Jesus Christ would do something, some miracles, and he would get out of it. But seeing that he was condemned, something happened to him. In verse 3, we read, then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, when he saw that the Lord Jesus Christ was condemned, repented himself, changed his mind. That's what repenting means. He changed his mind about the whole thing. Repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, that's the chief priest, the religious leaders, he comes to them and he gives them back the money, and he's changed his mind about the whole thing, and he confesses his sin that he has betrayed the innocent blood. And what do they say to him? You know, the people that should be able to help him. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. Like, really what they said, we don't care. It's your problem. Deal with it. That's what they were saying. Now we turn to the same chapter, verse 24. Now is another man that has come in contact with the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that. You know, like if you, if you came in contact directly like that with the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's another man, maybe not the same contact that Judas had. But he's here, the Lord Jesus Christ is before him, and he's asked to play a role that I believe he didn't really want to play. But here he is. And the Lord Jesus Christ was brought to him, and how the hatred that, of the people that brought him, and they want him to be condemned. They want him to be crucified. And here is this man, and he's talked to the Lord Jesus Christ, and doesn't find any fault in him. There's no reason why he should be condemned and crucified. But, he's in the place where he's got no choice. There's people pressuring him. They want him to be crucified. And he tried to wash his hands and say, I'm innocent. And that's what he's going to say here. When Pilate saw that he couldn't prevail nothing, the crowd was stronger, the crying of the crowd was stronger, and seeing that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, this is going to get out of hands, he had to do something, he took water, washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person, see ye to it. That's your business. This is religious stuff. He was not religious. He was a judge. And he didn't want to be involved in that. And he washes his hands and he says, I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. That's your business. You see to that. You deal with that. And then we see in verse 25, just the next verse to that, the people answering, the people that saw the Lord Jesus Christ for 3 years of his public ministry, and the people were that followed, and they wanted to do away with him. And Pilate is saying, I don't want to be involved. This is your religion, this is your stuff, and I'm here in this position of judge, but I don't see him guilty, and I'm washing my hands. I don't want to be involved. And he says, you see to that. And look what they say in verse 25. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. His blood be on us and on our children. Really saying, we'll take the blame. Big guys, we'll take the blame. You can do it. Put it on us. This is something, isn't it? But then we'll turn, keep your finger in Matthew 27 and we'll come back. But we'll go to Romans chapter 5 and verse 9. Romans chapter 5, and read verse 9 there. And it's all in view of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see Paul is, maybe we'll read verse 8 also, but Paul is explaining the gospel. He's giving all the facts of the gospel for people to believe. And he says here, but God... And this is amazing when you think of what took place, the murder of the Lord Jesus Christ, the slaying of the Lamb of God. And then it says, here Paul says, but God commanded his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him, much more now being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. That's amazing, isn't it, when we think about that. So this morning I would ask the question, what is your relation to the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? And you might say, I'm not in for that. And we're all in for that. How the human race that's been upon this earth and will be until the Lord comes again, we have this situation. Just like Pilate, he didn't want to be there, but he was there. And maybe you didn't want to have anything to do with that, but here you are in this world that he has created. And he came himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, God manifested in the flesh, came down to this earth to go to the cross of Calvary and there to shed his precious blood for you and I. And we have no way out. Just like Pilate, here we are. and we have to do something. So I would say, what is your relationship to the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? And maybe you say, well, I never heard that before. Well, hopefully this morning we'll be able to bring that message to you. It's a wonderful message, but it's hard, but it's a wonderful message. And when we think about that, you know, the murder of the Lord Jesus Christ was the greatest offense this world has ever done. In Genesis chapter, I'm just going to read a verse, you don't need to turn. And the Lord said, the one who created us, says, and surely your blood of your lives will I require. There will be a day of accounting. At the hand of every beast will I require it, at the hand of man. At the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth the man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. But here we have a different man. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. God manifested in the flesh, becoming a man to go to the cross of Calvary there to die for our sins. But so there's three situations that we have before us here this morning from the Word of God. And one is, one says, I have betrayed the innocent blood. You know, one man who repents and he changes his mind and he confesses sins and he's all troubled about the situation, realizing the seriousness of it, and he says, I have betrayed the innocent blood. And then we have another one here who says, well, I'm not really into that. Like, I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. Like, I'm innocent. I'm not involved. Like, it's your decision. It's your religion. I don't want to be involved with this. And then there's those who are, sadly, they are religious people, but they're saying, his blood be on us. We don't care. Like, murder him, kill him, like, shed his blood. Like, we'll take the blame for it. We'll face the situation. We don't care. We want him dead. That's all there is to it. But then there's people who can say, we're justified by his blood. That is amazing. But when we think about that, you know, here the first one, the one who says, I have betrayed the innocent blood. Here is someone who has been in close contact with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he walked with him and saw the things that when he was on the sea with them in the boat and he was sleeping and they were going to drown, like the water was coming into the boat, the waves were raging, the wind was blowing, and they said to him, you know, don't you care that we're going to perish? And the Lord would stand up in the boat and command the sea and command the waves and the wind, and he would tell them to be calm. And they were calm. You know, this is amazing. And they said, what manner of man is this? They realized that this was not an ordinary man. You know, he had control over the waves and the wind and the raging waves and the wind that was blowing, and Judas was there. But there's something about Judas, you know. He was in contact. This was not strange to him. It's almost like, you know, there's a lot of people who have heard the gospel from a long time and never really did anything about it. And Judas was one of them. Seems like, you know, like this is all happening and you just go your way. And, you know, a lot of people that have been brought up under the sound of the gospel, this wasn't my privilege. And I heard the gospel when I was 24 years old. And I couldn't understand that people who grew up under the sound of the gospel had not dealt with the situation. It was just mind-boggling to me. Like, I remember when I was a kid growing up and I wanted to go to heaven. I was brought up religiously. I wanted to go to heaven, but didn't know how. And got discouraged because I knew I wasn't good enough to go to heaven. Even if I tried my best, I knew I wouldn't be able to. And then when I heard the gospel, you know, this was what we were looking for. I was out in the world and discouraged about the whole thing. But when I heard the gospel, it made sense. You know, I couldn't do it, but someone had done it for me. The Lord Jesus Christ had died for my sins on the cross. And I just couldn't understand that people would know that and not do anything about it. I don't know. At that moment, when I understood that, I wanted to be saved right then. And I was saved just like that, just because of what he did for me. But Judas was one who knew all these things, but he trifled with that. And there's people who trifle with the gospel. You know, they know it, but it's almost like, well, someday, or, you know, like, no rush. We're not going to deal with it right now. That's a dangerous thing, very dangerous thing. Because at one point, like, you'll have to deal with it. And for Judas, there was a time when he had to deal with it. And see, he liked money. This is something that he was doing while he was with the Lord Jesus Christ. He would take of the money that was coming in. And this was, you know, I don't know if that's the reason he stayed, because they gave him to look after the purse. So, you know, it was a good place to be if you like money. And he just went along. But now, like, there was a good deal. You know, he could sell him for 30 pieces of silver. And I don't know, like I said, I don't know if he thought that knowing the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing who he was, that he would get out of it. There was many times they tried to get a hold of him. They wanted to throw him over the edge of the mountain, and the Lord Jesus Christ just walked through them. And they couldn't touch him. And he thought maybe, like, you know, I'll make some money and they'll be fooled because they won't be able to touch him. But then they get a hold of him. And they put him through this trial, and they condemned him. And when he realized, hey, this is really going to happen. I don't know if that's what his mind was like, but he said, he's sorry. He repents. And he confesses sin. He comes to them, and he gives them the 30 pieces of silver. And he says, I have betrayed the innocent blood. And you know, that's the problem with religion, isn't it? Or trifling with the gospel. Comes a point where you're going to have to deal with it. And now, like, it's amazing. You know, you think this man would know exactly what to do. He knows the Lord Jesus Christ. He does two important things. He repents. He changes his mind. And then he confesses his sin. You know, say, wow, you know, that's pretty good. It's a hard place for us to realize our sin, to change our mind about our condition of sin, and to confess it. You know, I find that's the hardest thing to do. Because when people come to that, it seems like they're very close to salvation. But there's one thing missing. He needs to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. He needs to believe that now that he's going to shed his blood, it's going to be for his sin, for that sin, that he's got, and he can save him from his sins by the offering of himself on the cross of Calvary. And he misses out on that. And that's the sad thing with people who trifle with the gospel. Oh, they know it, but how is it that they're going to miss out? They're not going to believe it. And Judas didn't believe it. He turns to religion. I know that's a sad thing, you know. Turning to religion. What did they say to him? This is your business. You know, see you to it. You fix that up. Like, religion has nothing to offer. What are they going to do? Religion is, they're the one who are going to crucify the Lord Jesus Christ. And how could they offer? You know, with religion, that's always the problem. Like, you have to keep doing and keep doing and keep doing and never have any assurance to find out in the end that it was the wrong thing, the wrong place to put your faith. And that's what he does. He goes and he puts his faith in the religion, and they don't care for him. You know, that's the one thing about the Lord Jesus Christ. He cares. But the religion doesn't care. Oh, that's your business. They got what they wanted. They wanted the Lord Jesus Christ. They wanted to lay their hands on him. They wanted to have him condemned. They wanted to have him crucified. And they said, we don't care for you. Like, you were just an instrument that we used. And so here he is. And we see that he never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. Instead of trusting, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, he went and hung himself and sealed his eternal doom in the lake of fire for all eternity. That's tragic, isn't it? That's very tragic when you think about that. And how many people who have been brought up under the sound of the gospel would end up in the lake of fire? You know, it's amazing. But what can we do? We can only tell. We can only proclaim the gospel. But then here we have another man. He says, I am innocent of the blood. Like the other one, I have betrayed the blood and couldn't figure out that he could be forgiven of that. But here's one man says, I'm innocent. He doesn't want to be involved. You know, we can't take a neutral stand concerning the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no neutral stand. Like you're on one side or the other. The Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew's Gospel 12:30, he that is not with me is against me. So there's only two ways. He that is not with me, says the Lord Jesus Christ, is against me. So you're either with the Lord Jesus Christ or you're against him. And Pilate was not with the Lord Jesus Christ, so he was against him, unless he took a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. But, you know, it's a hard situation. Like here was his job at stake. He was the friend of Caesar, and if he let him go, like he wouldn't be the friend of Caesar's anymore. You know, and there's a lot of things in this world, you know, that people value more than a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what about this situation? What about this relationship? What about those things that come like that, you know? And they evade the question. Just put it aside. And that's what Pilate was hoping to do. He was hoping to just put it aside. Don't come with that. Like, you know, I'm just going to get out of this situation and this is going to be all right. And you know what his way of kind of washing his hands, like, he says to them, see ye to it. Oh, like a lot of people say, oh yeah, there's so many religions in this world. It's all big confusion, you know, and I don't want to get involved in that. Like, you know, the matter of religion in this world, like it's all, like, one says this and another one says that. And they just say, well, you know, like I'm not guilty because I don't know. Like it's your business. You see to that. You deal with those things. Well, that's what religion is. You know, you have so many religion in this world, and they have so many things, so many ways, and confusion, for sure. Like, religion is of Satan, you know. It just confusing this world, because the message of the Word of God is clear. There's only one Word of God. This is the Bible. This is the Word of God, and the message there is so simple. You know, the message of the Word of God is so simple. You know what it says? Somebody told me one time, he says, well, you know, it's complicated. I can't understand that. And I said, well, it says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I said, how hard is that to understand? And that's the message. Like, it's very simple. All, it's you and I and everyone, have sinned and come short. We don't make it. We don't attain. We can't be with God because of our sin. That's what it means. It's very simple. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, that's not very complicated. I think it's very simple. But that's the message of the Word of God for us. God loves us, we're sinners. God loves us, and we can't do anything about it, but he has done all that needed to be done. He sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for our sins on the cross of Calvary. We need to take a stand. We need to take a side. You know, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was shed on the cross of Calvary. And what does that mean to you? What does that mean to you? According to tradition, Pilate was exiled after having been asked to appear before the emperor because of his cruelty. Pilate was a very cruel man. Like he would slaughter people, but he was a friend of Caesar. But because of his cruelty, he was asked to appear before Caesar, the emperor, and the emperor died before his arrival. Well, that would be a good thing when you're going to meet the one who's going to have you executed. But he was exiled. They exiled him, and he committed suicide. I don't know if that was on his mind all the time. You know, he never would have forgotten that time when he spoke to the Lord Jesus Christ, saw him innocent, and delivered him to be crucified, condemned him in spite of the fact that he was a just man. You know, it must have been on his mind. Never forgot that. And again, he committed suicide. Two of them committing suicide. Judas, no way out. Pilate, no way out. Commits suicide. You know, this is something, isn't it? But then you have people that say, his blood be on us. You know, there's people today, as you share the gospel, they don't care. And a lot of times, sadly, you know who are these people? They are religious people. And that's hard to understand, isn't it? This summer, I said to my dad, and my dad and I have so many conversations about the gospel. And he reads the Word of God. And my dad is 92. Like, the day, we're talking about that together. There's going to be a day when that's going to be the end. And he knows the gospel. He could tell you the gospel. But as he's getting nearer to the end, he's putting his trust in the Virgin Mary, in religion. And it breaks my heart. And I said to him this summer, I said, Dad, if you trust in religion and you trust in Mary for eternity, you'll be very disappointed when you come to the other side. And you know, he said something that really struck me. I was thinking about it, but I didn't even dare say it. He said, well, if I make a mistake, I'll pay for it. And when he said that, it's almost like he, you know, he was troubled. He was startled, and he said, well, and it'll be very expensive. And I said, it's going to be very, very expensive. Eternity is at stake. It's amazing, isn't it, when you think about that. Trusting something, and these people, these religious people, didn't fear the judgment of God. They didn't fear. They said, we'll take the blood, put it on us, blame us for it. We'll take the guilt for it. We'll face the situation. And, well, you know, when we think of these people, the Jews that were there saying that, we think of 2,000 years of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ being on them. We think of the suffering of the Jews and, you know, not wanting to see who the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who shed his precious blood for them, was. Well, I know there is individuals just like us, you know. It's individuals that get saved. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, it doesn't matter. But individuals, when they come to realize the meaning of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they want it, that's when they get saved. But think of that, you know. When we think of people saying, his blood be on us, and people today saying, we don't care, like, you know, we live our lives, we'll die tomorrow, and doesn't matter, like, we don't believe in God, we don't want to, we're just going to have it the way we want it, and nobody's going to change that. But thinking, you know, that one day they'll have to face God. Sometimes, you know, you think of the tsunami that happened in Japan, and think of somebody on the beach there saying, well, I'm going to face it. You can't face it. You're going to be crushed. And that's nothing. A tsunami is nothing, really. When you think of God, who he is, you know, like, sometimes at night I look in the skies and I see the stars and what are we? You know, like, we couldn't, I was telling my nephew, or my nephew's son, I was telling him, you know, look at the stars, you know, we couldn't even live long enough if we could travel at the speed of light to reach one of them. And yet, for God, it's his backyard. He just made the stars also. And he's so great. How could we ever think that we human beings would face God and argue with him? There's not going to be a long argument. When he comes, just the brightness of his appearance, he will destroy the Antichrist. You know, those of us who are saved will come with him, but we won't have to fight. The armies of the world under the Antichrist, like the Lord Jesus Christ himself, just by the brightness of his coming, they will be crushed. and it's going to be a terrible judgment. But think, you know, thinking like, I'll tell him where he was wrong. I'll argue with him, you know, that I'm right and he's wrong. I know the best thing to do is to bend the knee now and realize that we are sinners. And when we think about that, you know, the greatest offense that was made to God when he sent his son, his beloved son, the Lord Jesus Christ, doing good, and then we crucified him. And we can say they crucified him. But you know, it was humans. It was a human race that put the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And you know what? We are part of it. We are part of it. We can't escape. We can say, I have betrayed the innocent blood. I am innocent of the blood of this just man. And his blood be on us. We can see all these things. But one day we'll have to face the reality of the judgment of God coming upon us. But you know what? It's amazing. Who would have thought that? That this would be the only refuge. Jesus Christ dying on the cross for our sins, the just for the unjust, taking our sins upon himself, facing the wrath of God that I deserve, that you deserve, and this would be my refuge? Well, Paul says, you know, that we are justified by his blood. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, when you come to realize that, it's so amazing. It's so amazing that, you know, usually when there's something, we've done something bad. I remember when I did something bad, I didn't want to meet my father because I knew he would find out and there would be repercussion for what I did. I would flee away from him. And that's what we do. We'll flee away from God. And we run away from him. And all that time, he is the refuge. Because running away will not be a refuge. There's no refuge anywhere. You can be as far away. One day, you'll have to meet God. But, you know, the refuge is to run to him. And that's amazing, isn't it? We see another group. There's three people that we've seen so far. But there's one group, they say, we're justified. What does that mean, to be justified? Well, it means I've been declared just. And I know, like, you could point the finger at me. Some of you haven't known me for a long time. Some of you have known me, and you could see fault with me, and I'm a sinner. Just like you are a sinner. We're all sinners. And people could point the finger, and I would be guilty. But I can say to you this morning that I'm justified by his blood. That's my relationship to the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been justified. I've been declared just. Because he shed his precious blood for me. Yes, I deserve the judgment of God, but he faced the judgment for me. He went to the cross, and God put my sins on him. You know, the Word of God tells us that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing unto them their trespasses. That's putting them to their account. Look, my sins, your sins, God is not putting it to your account. He laid it on the Lord Jesus Christ. He put him, he who bore our sins in his own body on the tree. The Lord Jesus Christ did that for you. You know how he loves you? No, he wants you to be saved. He wants to be your refuge. He shed his precious blood for you. It's amazing when you think about that. You know, when we think of all religions, trying all different ways, and when the Word of God, the Bible says, you know, that there's nothing that can be forgiven without the shedding of blood. It says, and almost all things are by the law. In Hebrews 9:22, this is the Word of God. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no taking away. There is no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. And you can try all that you want, and if there is no shedding of blood, there will be no remission. But it says even that it says in Hebrews 9 and 12, neither by the blood of goats and cows, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. said, why would you want to go anywhere else? Why would you want anything else? Here we have in the Word of God, God speaking to us, God giving us the clear message. He says it's not by the blood of bulls and cows and goats and, you know, that were shed blood. That blood was shed in the Old Testament. The people that would sin, they would find a lamb without blemish or a goat or a calf, and they would bring that to the altar, and they would lay their hands on that, on the head of that animal. And it's almost like they were transferring their sin to that animal. And that animal who had done nothing wrong would have to be, the blood would have to be shed, and then the person would go free. Well, this would never take away sin. But it was telling us what would really take away our sins. You know, the laying the hands on the head of that animal was saying, identifying with that animal. And then the sins would be transferred to that animal, and he would die in your stead. Well, that's what that was just portraying for us. That was just speaking forth, telling the message of God in salvation, that one day there would be a lamb that would come into this world, not like any of the other lambs. It was the Lord Jesus Christ, God manifested in the flesh, coming in this world. And John the Baptist knew. When he saw the Lord Jesus Christ walk by, he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. He said, didn't say another lamb, the Lamb. And you know the disciples of John, what they did? They followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Here they had found their lamb, and he would die for them on the cross of Calvary. And our sins were laid on him. And he faced the judgment that we deserve. His blood was shed. And you know what? All you have to do is one step more than Judas did. He repented. He changed his mind about what he had done. And he confessed that he had sinned. I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. But he was missing the next step. You know, there was a jailer one time, and Paul and Silas were in the prison, and I'm sure he heard when they were singing and they were talking about the Lord, and you know, like, he was indifferent. But when came trouble, you know what he said to them? He called them sirs. Like, he just shackled them and threw them in the prison, and now he's calling them sir. Well, they have a message that he wants. That's why he called them sirs. And he says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? You know, he had repented. He had changed his mind. And he confessed that he needed to be saved. What must I do to be saved? And you know, the answer was very simple. It's so beautiful. And it's the same this morning. If you've realized that you are a sinner and you need salvation, and you confess your sins before the Lord, you know what we can say to you very simply? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Right now. Right where you are now, you can be saved from your sins. You know, I was saved in the moment of time. And all those here that are saved were saved in the moment of time. Just when they realized their sin, and they repented, they changed their mind about sin, and they realized that Christ died and his blood was shed for them on the cross of Calvary. You know what? The next moment, you're saved. And know it, because the Word of God says. That's the way of salvation. That's God's way of salvation. And it says in the Word of God, by one offering, there was many sacrifices in the Old Testament, but by one offering, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, he perfected forever them that are sanctified. Isn't that wonderful? You know, like, I know you may think I'm simple, but I think that anybody who knows that message and doesn't do anything about it now, it's foolish. You know, when I found that out, I just went by my bedside and that's it. That was the end of me. I went there and I repented of my sins. I confessed before the Lord that I was lost. And I believed he died for me when he shed his precious blood on the cross of Calvary. And you know what? I knew I was saved. I know now I'm saved. The Word of God says it. To as many as received him, to them gave you power to become children of God. And now we can say, justified by his blood. Can you say that this morning? It's up to you. If you have any questions, I don't know, maybe it wasn't clear enough, there's something you're still missing, you've been thinking about it. Well, if you want to talk about it, we're willing to do that. There's nothing more important. You know, when we get saved, there's something that happens. You just want to tell everybody about it. Because it's the most wonderful thing that will happen to you. That's the most wonderful thing that happened to me. And I'm sure everyone here that is saved would say the same thing. And it'll be the most wonderful thing for you if you get saved. So think about it. And if you want to talk more, like the time has come, we're going to stop. But if you want to talk about it, you know, like it's like a hymn we sing, suffer a sinner whose heart overflows. To talk of the Savior. You know, we want you to be saved. And he wants you to be saved. Do you want to? Our Father in heaven, we thank thee so much for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, yes, there was a time when we stood on the guilty side of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we think of that day for those of us who have changed side. We can now say that we are justified by his blood. Father, we think of those in this room, even now, that may not be able to say that they are justified by the blood. Father, we pray that this would be such an urgent situation for them that they would not leave before it's settled. Father, we pray that they, with thy Holy Spirit, you would bring the scriptures to them in a way that they would come to realize, just like that jailer at Philippi, who, when he was told, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, that man was saved because he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank thee for such a wonderful salvation, and we pray your blessing upon your word this morning. In his precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Just wonder if we could sing in closing.